at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
With all your heart. Amen. Isn't it good to be in church this morning? Well, the snow thought it had us, but we have prevailed. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord, tell him you're glad to see him in church on this snowy Sunday morning. What a privilege it is. Play some more of that, guys.
Jesus, you are holy.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him. Bow your heart. Oh, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen. Well, we had church here last night, didn't we? How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it outstanding? I'll tell you what, I just got a feeling it's going to get gooder every time we come. It's going to get gooder all the time, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. How about you? I'm glad I love the truth. I'm glad I love this word. I'm glad I love this message. I'm glad for the grace of God in my life. Are you glad for that this morning? Give him one more hand clap of praise. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated this morning while we look at our prayer request. Brother Nathaniel Painter, I want him to come and get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer. On behalf of our prayer request this morning, we want to pray for Keziah McCoy. Brother Garrett, I get that right. Keziah McCoy, homesick this morning. Brother Aaron sends that in, so let's pray for that need. The Lord will touch that child. Brother Matthew Kincaid, he was the young man that's been coming to the church, was baptized here just a few weeks ago. He's looking for the Lord to help him out in some legal matters. We just commit that all unto the Lord, and he's looking for work. Let's pray that God would grant that request to him today. I want you to remember my brother Bob Blevins in prayer this morning. He called just a little while ago. He's scheduled for hip replacement, I believe, on February the 17th, but some test results came back, and he's suffering kidney failure. And they're just saying that the surgery that he'll have, the medication that he'll be on, will work against his kidneys. And they're trying to figure out what to do as far as the replacement, whether to do it or not. But he just needs a touch from the Lord this morning. I pray that you would remember my brother Bob Blevins in prayer. Sister Donna Pistol says to please pray for her sister Becky Tackett. She needs deliverance, and I would like for the church to remember her, so let's pray for that need. I want to pray for Brother Terry Stockton's granddaughter, Briley, who is in the ER with high temperatures this morning. Also, Brother Terry, Sister Jaretta are in need of prayer. Sister Jaretta has a special unspoken prayer request that she'd like for you to pray about. I want to pray for Teresa Milhorn, who's had a light stroke. She is a special friend of our family. Brother and Sister Baker sends that in. The Howard family is sick this morning. Let's remember the Howard family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Also want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy, who is sick and needs prayer this morning. So we'll just commit that unto the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. We appreciate Brother Nathaniel Painter. He's just part of us now, Brother Nathaniel. God bless you. Appreciate you. You pray this morning, brother. Let's stand to our feet if you would. God bless you, brother.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Father, in humility, Father, because you showed us how to be humble, Lord. You came in the simplest form, Father, to show us, Lord, the way to approach you, Father. You also showed us, Lord, in Gethsemane, Father, how to pray. Lord, how to subject our will, Father, to yours, Lord. And tonight, Lord, knowing that you gave us full authority and power, Father, on this earth, but, Lord, that you gave us the humility, Lord, to subject it to your will, Lord Jesus. We just want to bring these requests, Father, so many. Brother Bob, Brother Matt, Lord, all these ones, Lord, the sister that's had a stroke or whatnot, Lord Jesus, we know that you are mindful of all things, Father, but you still request, Father, that we bring the things to you in prayer, Lord Jesus. We want to just bring them to your attention this morning, Father, just so they're on our hearts, Lord, knowing that they're on yours, Father. Lord, knowing that we can ask whatever, as long as it's subject to your will, Father, and you will do the work, Father. So we just want to pray for this brother Matthew, Lord, just seeing you working in his life, Father. Bring him to a place where he needs you, Father, Lord. We've all been there, Lord, and we're so thankful, Father, for that desire that you placed in our hearts, Father, to know where to turn to, Father. So this morning we do that, Lord Jesus. We just pray for all these requests, Lord, and the unspoken requests out there. Whatever's on people's minds, Father, whatever is on their heart, Father, if they would just commit it to you, Lord, we know that, Father, you are more than powerful to answer, Lord, any request, Father. We just thank you, Father. We just commit these things into your hands. In the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in this service today, we certainly want to welcome you. All those that are streaming the service, pray that the Lord would just let it be a blessing to them as well. We're going to have a great time here today. We're going to create a real good atmosphere in here this morning by the grace of God, aren't we? Aren't we? Amen. Somebody say, I really am awake. Look at somebody and say, are you awake? If they're not, slap them. No, don't do that. Don't slap them. Just wave, shake them maybe a little bit. Let's get everybody woke up. We're going to have church here today. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God today. Amen. We got some specials we're going to let you hear just in a few minutes. Let me make this announcement. Now, this is an opportunity for you to step up and be a good community person. If you're interested in being that, this is your opportunity over at the Happy Valley High School today from 12 until 3 o'clock. They're having a spaghetti dinner. It's $5. That includes the dinner, the drink, and a dessert. For $5, you're going to be helping the athletic department. So if you don't have lunch plans, you can't eat much cheaper than $5. And the last time we went, it was very good. And I'll be looking for you over there today, the Lord willing. So remember that. You're welcome to come if you can. Let's sing a song this morning. He looked beyond my fault, and he saw that I had a need. And you know what? He was big enough to step down and do something about it. You got a need that you can't take care of today? He can. Somebody look up and point up and say, he can. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How much one more time, the chorus. Oh, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Just a few had a rugged cross where Jesus died.
oh. song of praise, for it was His grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why the King came to love me so.
Song this morning. You know, we talk about it all the time. We're looking forward to being there, but it's not even entered into our hearts what God has got ready for you and for me. I'm getting more excited about it all the time. Are you? This world don't hold nothing that would want me to stay here, Brother David. It holds nothing. But everything I hope for, everything I live for is waiting me. Are you glad about that this morning? Are you glad you've got eternal hope in the Lord? What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon Brother John? God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Give Brother John a hand as he comes to sing for us. Sister Rebecca, if you'll come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing. God bless you, babe.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. Jennifer and I are praying this morning for her cousin Jennifer, who is visiting with us this weekend. She's distressed. She's being tested on Wednesday for the same cancer that took her mother at a young age. So, I appreciate Larry and Louie and the guys bringing back the sweater vest. But second of all, I appreciate the media presentation this morning on Job. That was just beautiful. And I'd been thinking on the sermon last night, and when they showed that commentary on Job, you know, I teach in the physics department at Appalachian State University. I know some individuals that can get pretty puffed up with man's knowledge. And you know what? As soon as we think we've figured everything out about the workings of the natural universe, God comes along and says, "Where were you who think you have knowledge when I laid the foundations of this world and stretched the heavens and spun the stars in the sky?" Because we find out the knowledge of man, the wisdom of Job's friends, it brings forth contention, strife, bitterness, the lust of the flesh. We learned this last night, didn't we? But the wisdom of God brings forth the fruits. Just like James was telling us. James goes on to say, "You ask for these things, you don't deserve them, because it's just to puff yourself up. But I give more grace. He giveth more grace." And so I'm going to play a song this morning. This is one that my sister wrote. It's called "He Giveth More Grace." It feels like you're standing on sinking sand with the weight of the world on your shoulders. You can remember the sun shining down, but that was when you were younger. You've been in the valley so long, the joy you once had was gone. Oh, but I know a man who can bring you back victory song. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Down through the years, though there were tears, he was building your faith. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Mercy abounds when he reaches down. He giveth more grace. Now Satan was roaming the earth to and fro, seeking until he found you. You are a modern day Job, I believe. The Lord knows you're trying to stay true. Your friends wonder what you did wrong to be on this ash heap so long. But the great God of mercy will give you the strength to go on. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Down through the years, though there were tears, he was building your faith. And he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Mercy abounds when he reaches down, he giveth more grace. Mercy abounds when he reaches down, he giveth more grace.
Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. Oh, the great success to show. No glory of my own, yet in my weakness, He is there to let me know that His strength is perfect when our strength is gone.
Song, it's a beautiful truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many's experienced that in your life time and time again? Thank the Lord. Let's turn to the book of James, if you would, today. Chapter 3, verse 16. Brother J.D. had mentioned to me that there was a brother and sister here today from Moscow, Russia. Were they out today? God bless you, brother and sister. They wanted to visit America, and the way that they could go about doing it was as a tourist. So one of their special places that they wanted to see was Happy Valley. Can you imagine? They bypassed the Statue of Liberty for you all. I thought that was very nice of them. We're certainly glad to have you all with us today. James chapter 3, verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's read the last verse again. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's ask God's blessings on the word today. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today for what you have done in each of our lives. We are so thankful, Lord Jesus, that once again we have the opportunity that we can stand in this place that we built many years ago and dedicated it to you, and we call it your house. So therefore, Father, when we come to your house, we want to come in honor and respect. I wouldn't want people coming in my house and cussing and lying and drinking and living any kind of old life. I wouldn't want them coming into my house and behaving themselves in a manner that was not fitting. And if we feel that way about our home, how much more do we feel that way about your house? So this is not a place of talking. It's not a place of joking. It's not a place of even fellowship just with one another. But it's your house. And we have come to your house today by personal invitation from you, that we can worship, that we can sing, that we can pray, that we can hear the word. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would never take it for granted, the privilege that we have to be invited to the King's house. Speak to us today, Father. I pray from your word. You know that we're a needy people, but we bring our needs before you, and we don't want to lay them on the altar and then pick them back up and take them home with us. But we want to bring them to you and leave them there. Speak to us today, Father. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again this morning from wisdom from above. Jesus, on his mission to the earth, accomplished so many wonderful things. Healed many people. Brought temporary deliverance to many people. Many experienced his supernatural power and heard words that no mortal had ever uttered. Things that was said in parables and things that was said in mysteries and things that they pondered over. People are still pondering over them today. And yet, many things that he said was right out plain, where you didn't need a revelation to understand it. And then the deeper purpose of his visit to the earth, as we looked at it last night, and I'd like to just tap back on it a little bit this morning, was to be able to reconcile man back to where he was before the fall, to bring peace between us and God. For the head of the first race, the Adamic race, by falling himself and forfeiting his rights to eternal life, Adam forfeited my rights. He forfeited your rights. He forfeited my rights to be a God over this earth. He forfeited my rights to live in the Garden of Eden, to walk down between the trees, to partake of the fruits and live forever. He forfeited my rights to having eternal life in a human body and never aging one day. He forfeited my rights to perfect peace, to perfect satisfaction. He forfeited all of that for me, for you, for every other mortal that would come under his headship, being that we were born sons and daughters of Adam. But God was not happy in leaving the earth or leaving the man in that fallen state. So God purposed, even before there was a fall, of course, God purposed that he would be a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, in order to bring a resolve to this war, which was started once man fell away from the presence of God. And the war, of course, was in man's soul. That man, every mortal that would be born from a woman, through a woman, would actually be born into a conflict against God. That he would be at war with God. He would be at war with himself. He would be at war with those that are around him. Unless, of course, they agreed with him. Now, if they agreed with him, then he could have peace with them until they reached something that they could not agree with. And then he would have a war. The very reason today that the people of the world, the church people, that religious people, there's so much warring going on is because many of them do not have peace within themselves first. And you'll never be able to make peace if you don't have peace. You cannot do it. Because really, those who have the ability of making true, genuine peace, they must have that genuine peace within them. Or they will make what seems to be or appears to be peace, but it will not be lasting. But as great as the accomplishment of the Lord Jesus was in coming to the earth to bring peace and reconciliation to man, between God and man, that peace could be no more powerful than the individuals that would receive that peace. In other words, if God would bring the peace to humanity, but yet they would choose on their own choice to be at war with God. He will not make them. Now remember, to be a peacemaker, it puts you in a very delicate situation. Because here is the all-powerful, omnipotent God. He has the ability to make man do anything he wants him to do. But he must do it in such a way that he will keep his divine dignity. He must do it in such a way that he will not break his own laws, and that is work on the sovereignty of man's will. Now, if he's going to make man take peace, make man receive forgiveness, make everyone ask him for repentance, God, I'm sorry, if he's going to make everybody do that, he will forfeit his own dignity in order to accomplish peace on everybody. Now, does he want them all to have peace? He does. But he has laws that he works with. Now, keep this in mind when you and I are trying to be peacemakers as well. Now, he has his choice, and his choice, his will is that none should perish. It is not his will that any should perish. But is that his will by which he will project by divine sovereignty and make that override the free moral agency of every other mortal that lives on the earth? Now, if he does that, he's going to be unjust. He will now make men come to a place of peace. He will force them to accept peace. I don't want you, God. I don't want to be saved. Keep away from me, God. But I'm going to make you be saved because I'm God. So if he does that, he's broke his own sovereignty. But yet he makes it to where they can accept it by choice. Now here he is, the peace giver of all my. There's no way in the world that any mortal can be able to make peace like this. To where that we would be born at war in our soul against God. And all of a sudden we would start this process of the new birth. Some of you actually started it in a Baptist church. Some of you started in a Methodist church or in a Pentecostal church or maybe out in the barnyard somewhere. But wherever it was, God began to deal with your heart and you started it. Now many of us, because of erroneous teaching, we actually believe that we got the new birth then. But as we've grown and matured in the Word, we found out it was a long drawn out process. Some of you probably be surprised if you found out actually you just got it 6 months ago. Or 5 years ago, because it was really a birth of the Word. And you couldn't have really had a birth of the Word sitting under a denomination that was teaching false doctrine. But your process of your new birth started. And when God started dealing with your heart, something started moving. And God was bringing you to a place of peace to where you would be reconciled in the presence of God. To where the war in your soul would come to a place and God would not force a surrender. He would not force a surrender. And remember, for every great war, whenever the wars have been fought, two wars are fought for principle. But our war was not actually fought with the right principle. It was fought because we were born into this ranks. And we inherited this war as human beings. We didn't even have a choice, really, as far as whether or not we would fight against God. We were born into the opposite side. So we were born by sex desire, come through a woman's womb, and those signs were typical. We got a navel, so we were attached to her. It was a proof of which side we were on.
When we were born with a navel, it proved that we were born on the opposing side against God. The prophet said, but you're born with a navel, you see that you are a renegade. Why? Because Adam didn't have one. He didn't need one. He was not attached to a woman. But because of that sign still in our flesh to this day, it is a sign that we were attached to a woman. So we received the sustenance in the womb and through the attachment of the navel. And when we were born that way, we were a renegade against God. And that's why we must be born again. But now, how does God going to bring this peace to every human being on the earth? Will God's will override, as of course some believe, and you may not know it, but there is a form of so-called Christianity that believe that all men will be saved, whether they confess Jesus as their Savior now or not, because God is not willing that any should perish. So in the end, ultimately, God will take them all into heaven, and God will make them all be saved. But that's contrary to the Word of God. God will save those who wants to be saved, and those who don't want to be saved, well, He will not make them go. But here is the peace giver, the peacemaker, the great one who come to reconcile, but He can only reconcile according to the outline of His own law, which He must work in sovereignty. Now we know there are instances by which God dealing with the elect, that God will allow man's will to do certain things. God allowed Abraham to lie. God allowed him to go down the land of Egypt. But whenever Abraham's choice was fixing to mess up the entire program of God, then God by sovereignty stepped in and stopped Pharaoh from taking Sarah. Oh my. When he went down to the land of the Philistines and the Abimelech, and he allowed him to go down there, he allowed him to lie, he allowed him to do certain things. God didn't stop him in every move. But whenever he was going to do something by his will, which would mess up the program of God, then sovereignty overrode the humanity in order to fulfill the accomplishment for the elect of God. You better be glad God does it that way. Because there ain't no doubt in my mind we would have so messed up so many things about our life, and one day we'll look back and realize how much sovereignty overrode our stupidity. I'm glad sovereignty is greater than my ignorance. I'm glad sovereignty is greater than our humanity. I'm glad when my prophet was fixing to take his life and pulled his gloves off up on the power pole and laid his hands over on the wire, sovereignty slid him down to the bottom of the pole and saved his life. When humanity was going to put that gun to his head and kill himself, sovereignty stepped in. Why? I needed Elijah to come and bring a message of deliverance. Praise be to God. But now remember, God will not make people receive this peace. Notice this. Let me read the scripture that we read last night again in Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the war, for those of you that have received the Holy Ghost, the war is over between you and God in your soul. Now, it's not over in your body. It's still ongoing. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile. Notice now how the scripture says this. To reconcile all things. But does that mean all? Now be careful. Now the Bible says He'll reconcile all things. But does that literally mean all things? Good Lord, you folks are quiet today. All things what? All things that will come subjection to His Word. Now this is where some of these fundamentalists will tell you and say, well, He'll make everybody be saved. That doesn't follow the rest of the continuity of Scripture. So we've got to make Scripture dovetail with Scripture. So He will make all things, but all things what? All things that comply to the rest of the Scripture. So he will reconcile all things to himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. But that peace is only there for those who will accept it as peace, as a pardon window can only be recognized as a pardon when it's received as a pardon. It's the same way now with you and I. By a new birth, by a divine nature, and a total change in makeup, we are made in the very image of God. Every child of God is a lover of peace. Every child of God is a peacemaker. James says, let's read it again, James 3:19, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now notice here is their nature now by a new birth. You reward. So this could not be said of a person that's just on their way to the new birth. This is not a person that's on the stage one, stage two of true conversion. But this is speaking of those who have the divine capability of actually making peace. Why? This is who they are. They are sons and daughters of God, which is the Prince of Peace. So James says, of them that make peace. So when the peace of God rules in your heart, it is from your soul that the atmosphere of peace is created. Praise be to God. Now, they have the ability not only to enjoy peace, but they make it. I feel sorry for folks that make trouble all the time. You realize some folks in church, that's, you know, some I've known for years and years and years. And all I know about them is their main characteristic is trouble. They cause one issue after another, after another. You get that one resolved and they cause another one. You get that one resolved, they cause another. Wouldn't you hate for that to be your identity as a child of God? You know why that is? Because they've never really come to a spot to where the peacemaker takes total control of their soul. Because they themselves are still at war. This is why we have divisions in the body. This is why we have folks that can never be at peace with nobody else. Why? They're not at peace with God and they're not at peace with themselves. And they're going to go. You take one person in a family. They will keep that family in total turmoil all the time. All it takes is one person. The sad part about it is it's not always a child. Sometimes it's a parent. Well, glory. Now, let's read again Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Our Lord Jesus speaking now of the Beatitudes, what they call the Beatitudes. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Not the peace receivers, but the peacemakers. So tell me, what would you make peace with? Now, those of you sisters that you know how to make biscuits, I'm sure each one of you have your favorite recipe. And you would tell me, well, you take so much flour, you take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So this is how I make biscuits or chocolate cake or a banana pudding or whatever more. You say, well, I make, but what do you make it with? Well, I use bananas, I use vanilla wafers, I use this and the other. So tell me, if we are peacemakers, what do we make it with? Now, some folks get in their mind that in order to be a peacemaker, the number one ingredient is compromise. Well, glory. Some folks in the message are going to go to a Baptist church for 2 years. And nobody in that church would ever know they believe the message. Because their idea of peace is you don't share this greater light with anybody else. You selfish individual. How could you sit there in that denominational system and never share with someone the truth you have found? Wouldn't it be sad that a message person could go to a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church or an Episcopalian church or go to Catholic Mass for a year or 6 months or 2 years or 3 years and nobody would ever even know that they believed the message? Because in their view, that's what they think a peacemaker is. Why? Their main ingredients is compromise. Can you imagine Paul going to a Catholic church for 6 months without saying something about him? Praise the Lord. Can you imagine anybody filled with the Holy Ghost going to a Catholic mass after mass, and never say nothing about it? And never say, hey, there's a better way! But some folks' concept is the first ingredient of peace is compromise. Don't say nothing to hurt nobody. Don't cross nobody. That's not the kind of peace I'm talking about. Well, glory. Now that works in Laodicea. That's where they're all heading, to the World Council of Churches. So you're more Laodicean than you are bride. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus puts these, you know, was it a numerical order by his own choice? No doubt he could have arranged them and set them any way that he so desired. But he places this as the seventh beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So there is then a divine attribute with being children of God and how we do about peace. So then if it is a divine attribute of God, will we make it like humans make it? Will we make it to where we never hurt anybody, we never cross anybody? My, I don't want no enemies. I do. I want to be an enemy to hell. I expect to be an enemy to the devil. I expect to be an enemy to folks that will not stand for the truth. Now humanly do I want that? I do not. But if people do not hate me, I need to get saved. Well, you say everybody loves me, then you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you. That if it don't hate you, you're not saved. Well, Brother Donnie, I ain't got an enemy in this world. Well, either you're blind, dead, and dumb, and you live in a cave somewhere, or you ain't really filled with the Holy Ghost. Because if you're full of the Holy Ghost, hell will hate you first, and hell's recipients will hate you next. That's just the way it is. He who would have perfect capability of producing peace must have the perfect peace creator in his soul. Our peacemaking should never include compromise. Not on the word now. As far as our feelings, our opinions, this, that, the other, we'll all have to compromise some of that. Unless you want to live by yourself. Praise the Lord. Now, a person who is willing to compromise truth for peace does not fit the category of the seventh beatitude. Whew. Oh my. You know, friends, it's sad to say, but the only way to keep some peace with some folks is you have to keep your distance from them. Now that's sad when you go to church with them. It's sad if it's your fleshly sister or your fleshly brother or your mama or your daddy. Come on now, don't get quiet. My goodness, if y'all get much quieter, we're going to have to mute the whole service. It'll just be hum on the internet. Zzz, white noise. Now, the way God looks at peace, in order to really understand peace and what God wants us to do with peace, then we would have to look at the Prince of Peace himself. As I mentioned last night, that here Jesus stands on the earth to release sinners from the war with God. And at the very same time that he does that, he declares war against the Pharisees. He declares war against the Essenes and the lawyers, which was not a legal lawyer at that time, but it was a man who studied the Torah. So when Jesus said, woe unto you lawyers, he wasn't talking about a legal lawyer that you'd go and get a man to fill out your deed. But it was a man who specified his entire life was spent in studying the law of Moses. So Jesus said, woe unto you lawyers. He absolutely declared war on them people. Why? Because they had reaffirmed their declaration of war against God the Word. So here's the Prince of Peace offering words of kindness and mercy to those who would receive it. And he drags out a sword to others and said, you're of your father the devil. My goodness. And this was the peacemaker? This was the Prince of Peace? He's only the Prince of Peace to the Princess of Peace. He's the King of Peace to the Queen of Peace. Boy, that's a good Lord. Thank you. My, hallelujah. Amen. So if you declare war against God, expect God to declare war against you. But if you want peace, my friend, he's here today to give it to you. You know, it's sad, but the Bible contains so many examples of peace and war. Even in the family of God, even in the genetic strain of Abraham's seed line, it shows us example after example of peace and war. And many of the greatest conflicts was right in the very move of God. And we know that when God called Abram and he went out before his name was changed to Abraham, that God dealt with him, and history tells us that Lot's father had passed away. And Josephus says that actually Abram had adopted Lot and made Lot his heir. So here they go on the journey, and Lot, it wasn't revealed to Lot about the message, but he just was kind of raised in the message. He always had his doubts. He always had his questions. But he just kind of followed the prophet along for a while. Praise the Lord. Now Lot, of course, being much different than, of course, in their Eastern customs and tradition than ours today, you always respected your elder. Always. No question about it. Even if they made very dumb choices, very dumb advice, very dumb things to you, you respected that position. It was part of their tradition. So for Lot to leave out of there and follow Abraham, he was not going to question him. Even though no matter how much doubts he might have had in his heart, this is his elder. And he's going to follow him out. Goes through many different things and journeys and stages of the message. But there comes a spot and a time to where they must separate. Abraham was a peacemaker. He loved peace. But it come to a spot to where there was trouble. And it was with the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram. No doubt God had orchestrated and allowed the decision to be made. Sometimes he'll force you to a decision when you're not willing to make it. Now it had grown, their flocks had grown, everything had grown. God bless Lot because he was in the message. I mean because he was with Abraham. And because of that blessing, now he's known among the people. So they get into an argument. Let's pick it up, if you will, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 5. Lot also went, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Why does Moses keep emphasizing this? Dwell together, dwell together, dwell together. Time of separation has come. This is hard for a peacemaker. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt there in the land. And Abram, he's the elder. Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. What's the peacemaker now? Isn't it amazing that Lot does not say this? Isn't it amazing that Lot does not say, oh, Uncle Abraham, I am so sorry. You took me in as your own son. You have raised me. Well, forgive my herdsmen. I'll chastise them. I'll rebuke them. But Abram steps up and said, let there be no strife. Now watch the peacemaker fixing to offer a solution of how to make peace. Learn, children. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. I pray thee, between me and thee. I thought it was their cattle and the herdsmen. Oh, you mean it started with their dogs or the cats or the cows, and then it grew to the people over the dogs or the cats or the cows, and then eventually come into the church? All it takes is little Johnny out on the parking lot, and he slam dunks little Jack in the face. And then you got big Johnny and big Jack, and they're ready to slam dunk one another. Next thing I know, I got big Johnny, and I ain't Louie Bell, and ain't so-and-so, and Uncle so-and-so. I got 45 people back there squeezed in my office trying to resolve little Johnny and little Jack. And them adults many times act more stupid than them children do. Well, I just throw that in for good measure. I didn't charge you for that. Now watch the peacemaker. Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Now watch him. You didn't catch what happened there. It's a prefigure of Christ. Abraham is acting like a Christian before there was ever Christianity. Now remember, he was the elder. He could have stood up on his authority and said, all right. We cannot go any farther together. We've got to come to a spot. All right, I'm going to go so-and-so and so-and-so, and you will stay here. He had that right. But he was a Christian in type. So he's going to forfeit his right and give it to the carnal believer. Now watch it. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Now here he is supposedly in the message. So instead of now consulting the message, he follows his eyes. So he goes to researching in the Courier Journal in the Louisville Times, trying to see if he can find some kind of proof where 16 men fell off of a bridge. He tries to look here and follows his eyes and looks here and looks there. Oh, I've always had questions about that. I'm not sure if them seven angels, oh, the only man's word I got for it is Brother Branham. I don't know if I can trust him or not. So Lot said, I believe it's time for me to head out of here. No doubt Lot would have started him up a website on, you know, whatever he would have titled it in that day. How to be deprogrammed from following the message. How to leave the message. How to come away from it. Go to a psychiatrist and a psychologist and all these people to help you. Yeah, I agree with that. You'll probably need it. Because once you have sat in the presence of truth and walked away from it, you're going to need help, all right. Now watch what Lot follows. Where is his respect for his elder? Where is his recognition of acknowledging this man as a man sent from God? But he follows his eyes. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Why would this matter? Why would it being well watered matter? Because the place they were currently living was dried up. Now when you understand the setting of this, it'll make you appreciate what Abraham done even more. Abraham was not living in a lush green paradise. This stage of the journey, God had led it. It was dry. It was sticky. The cattle didn't have enough food. This is why they broke into an argument. It seemed like the message was going through a dry place. And it seemed like the Sodomites were having revival. Truly they are. Glory. But their revival preceded brimstone. So Lot lifts up his eyes and he beholds the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Oh, the Garden of Eden. I don't know if you can comprehend this or not, but God had kept a certain little part of this tract of land where the Garden of Eden had formerly been. In a minuscule form, God had kept it as a reminder of what man has forfeited. So when Lot looks out there, he says, oh my goodness, look at that. That lush green paradise. My cattle will get so fat. Oh, my children, my grandchildren, oh, what a place to raise your family. Oh, my, I'm doing this for my family. How many men convince themselves they're missing church for their family? They got two jobs and they're working. They ain't got no time with their family. They ain't got no time with their kids, but they're doing it for their family, which don't make no sense to me. They ain't got no time with the wife. They ain't got no time to be able to express it, but it's all for their family. Why don't you quit lying and be honest? You like doing that. Some of you men are a workaholic. Just go ahead and tell the truth. Don't blame it on your wife. Don't blame it on your kids. You ain't man enough to be a real man and stay home and put a model car together with your boy. You ain't man enough to take your little girl out on a date. You ain't man enough. You gotta work like a hog somewhere because you are a workaholic. And whoever that was for, I said it was love. So can you imagine Lot? He looks at it and said, oh my Lord, I get to go back to Eden. But I've got to leave the message. Because Abraham's still here under this oak. The grass is drying up. The waters are dried up. The springs is dried up. Why would I stay here when I can go back to Eden? But I can tell by the sound of his voice, he ain't going. He's so stern and so set. He'll not even compromise one little bit to move a little bit closer to them Sodomites. Divine premonition, maybe? Divine leadership of the Spirit of God forewarning him to stay away? Here stands Abraham. Now watch. Verse 11. Then Lot chose him. Oh, the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east. Notice, east. This is backsliding. This is contrary to nature. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west. We follow the progression of nature. So what is he doing? He's backsliding. He's going backwards. Come on, church. He's backsliding. This is the way of a backslider. This is the way of a person under false pretense of being a peacemaker. No doubt they looked at Lot and said, he is such a peacemaker. Look at him. He is just him and his family. They've absorbed right into our church. Why, you'd never even know he was a pre-message believer. You'd never even know that he was called up in that cult. Look at the cult leader. Peter sitting up underneath that oak. We've invited him down to our sodomite orgies and he won't come.
I guarantee you he won't come.
We've invited him to partake of our fill. He's stuck up. He thinks he's the only one right. I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't have nothing to do with that man.
Don't worry. He won't have nothing to do with you either. That's a two-way street there, pal. But Lot was the peacemaker. Hello. Hello. Must have been a real politician. Because Lot actually became the mayor of the city. You don't do that by preaching against homosexuality. As a matter of fact, it'll ruin your career in this day and time. Whether you're a rock star or a political man or a governor, whoever you are, you better not touch that. Can't you see where we're going? They can blast us. They can call us all kinds of names. But nobody better not say nothing about them. But just to reestablish where I stand today, the President of the United States, Congress, Senate, the Supreme Court, justices, lawmen, police officers, sheriffs, and whoever more is not going to tell me what to preach. No, sir. They'll throw you in jail. Let them throw me in. My God may come in there and shake that jail down. We'll have another jailhouse rock, but it won't be Elvis doing the rocking. Hallelujah! It'll be the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So Lot journeyed backwards. East. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. I love this way Brother Bam catches this. But brother, what did Abraham do? They started fussing, so Abraham said, now Lot, before we have any quarrels between us, separate yourself from me, and I from you. Now you look any way you want to, you take your choice. That's the way a Christian does it. Giving them the benefit of the doubt. Take your choice. You go way east, I'll go west. You go north, I'll go south. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Well, right quick, that backslider, he wanted to look for the easiest road. You imagine every weekend when they go to church, because Abraham, of course, wasn't just a prophet to stay at home, but he was a prophet that went to church. So he's a prophet to preach the truth and believe in going to church. You imagine Abraham getting up there, glory to God! I'll tell you, women of this message, you stay away from these bop-head Jezebels, Egyptians! Miss Lot would sit there and squirm and wiggle and squirm. I seen a caravan coming through here the other day. They was heading down to them cursed cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They're selling their miniskirts and their pants for women. You women, stay away from that stuff. People don't have to say one word. All they got to do is roll them eyeballs in their head. What are you looking for? See if you got a brain? You may have a brain, but you ain't got much sense if you lean towards Sodom. You imagine it got harder and harder and harder, and she'd walk it back to tent. Hey, Lot, when are we going to leave this message? Look at me. My hair is breaking off. He won't even allow me to trim it. I wore my dress just 2 inches below my knee. What did he do? Fried me like a pancake. I had on something that was just a little bit snug because I wanted to be sexy for you, Lot, my little dearie husband. Everybody in the church knew he was talking about me. I know, dear. I know. Go ahead, Lot. Lot, don't you know I can never be what Christ wants me to be?
as long as I'm under this bondage.
Don't worry, dear. We'll leave this message one day. But when? I don't know, dear, but one day, dear. Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Yes, dear.
I would like to watch her. Not so much Lot that day when he made his choice. I would have liked to seen his church, his wife, to see what her reaction was. She probably had never shouted, but she did that day. Speaking in tongues, as we'd say, would have been unbecoming to her, but I imagine she got back to her tent, she about had a spell. Dancing around the tent, glory, glory, freedom at last, freedom at last. You imagine she couldn't wait till they got right outside the gates, till she drags out her Mary Kay and her scissors and her eyeliner and all the rest of her liners and all that sort of thing. She don't even look like who she was when she was sitting under the ministry of Abraham. By the time they get to the plains of Sodom, Lord have mercy! By the time they get to the plains of Sodom, she's already took on the image of the Sodomites. If there was any man that you would think should have the right to all the blessings and all the water and all the grass and all the foliage and all the shade, it would have been Abraham. And Abraham stood right here and he looked down the plain and he said, well, my cattle would like that grass too. Man, you're talking about, look at them shade trees. My people wouldn't complain near as much. I hear the thing about voting me out, but man, they wouldn't complain near as much if I'd take them down there and just find an easy route. Abraham wanted peace, but not at the price of compromise. Watch this. Brother Bam said, right quick, that backslider. He wanted to look for the easy road. So he looked over and seen Sodom, a lot of waters. The Jordan swept through there. It was a paradise, almost like Eden. So wow, here they're going back to Eden, but they don't have to have long hair to get there. They're going back to Eden, but they don't have to wear dresses, and the men don't have to. Man, you can get tattoos and you can look like the world, and you're closer to Eden than Abraham is. Brother Bam said, so he said, I'll take this way and leave his poor uncle with all those cattle and those things out there on the barren lands. I thought God told Abraham to bless him wherever he went. I thought God told Abraham that he'd make him the head and not the tail. I thought God told Abraham he'd bless him in such a way he'd have so much he wouldn't know what to do with it. That don't mean every day of your life. On Monday, you may get up tomorrow. Man, you got so much you don't know what to do with it. And Tuesday, you wish you had some more that you didn't know what to do with. Amen. And then on Wednesday, you may get up again and say, oh, Lord, here it is again. My, on Thursday and Friday, it's a dry spell. How many knows what I'm talking about? He didn't promise every day would be that way, but he said you'd have times it would be that way. Thank God for those times. Notice, leave his poor uncle up there and the cattle and those things on the barren lands at Abraham. When Lot separated himself. Oh, my. Watch what got God's attention. When Lot separated himself, God saw that great move that Abraham had done. That great thing, he had submitted himself and give his brother the benefit of the doubt. This so moves God that God now moves to the next stage of his revelation. And it was all hinged on him giving something that he deserved himself to one of lesser quality
100 times less.
Amen.
Lot being a penny, Abraham being a silver dollar. And silver, of course, is a metal of redemption. Copper is not. Notice what he says. That great thing that he had submitted himself and give his brother the benefit of the doubt. And he took the lower part. Christians, let me ask you something. How many of you can take the lower road? When somebody's done something against you and said something wrong. And maybe you've got some real stuff against them. And you could ruin their name. You could do this and that and the other. Will you take the low road? And so, well, I'm not going to do them the way they've done me. I'm going to behave like a Christian. I'm going to be like Abraham. Oh my, you're getting quieter and quieter. Lot, with his great refined things, like he was when he went down and perhaps became the mayor of the city, sat in the gate to be the judge. And his wife became the leader of all the societies. Because you know that she couldn't have been the leader of all the societies in her long hair and her long dress. This place is fixing to be burning just a little while. They ain't want no holy roller woman in there being in charge of all the gay societies. Do they want a mayor that's out of every city? You bunch of sodomites, God's going to burn your hide off. Would they vote in a mayor on tape? Or wouldn't they vote in a politician? Hello. Hello. How are you today? You got a wife or a husband? Oh, well, either way, it don't matter. God just loves us all. Come as you are. They do. They come as they are and they stay as they are. We say come as you are, but don't stay as you are. Let God change you and make you a different person by the power of God. Can you imagine me being the mayor of Johnson City? Governor of Tennessee? What you folks laughing at me for? What do you think? I was considering maybe running for president in 2016. What do you think? I wouldn't even get some of your votes. You imagine here come two men kissing. Two more holding hands. That's the mayor. He's got so much love. They tell me his uncle would burn our hides for two men kissing. After he got through vomiting, he probably would. You shouldn't say that. Oh, but I should. I want to keep Sodom out of our door. Them Sodomites knocked on Lot's door. Not Abraham. Oh, Lord. Can't you see why they're knocking on the Presbyterian door, on the Baptist door, on the Episcopalian door? I run into one not long ago in Lowe's. He was telling me I had no right to say such things. Telling me I shouldn't preach it in my church. You'll run them away. You'll do this, that, and the other. I said, you prove to me that what I'm preaching is a damage to them and I will compromise and say I was wrong in saying it. But I'll prove that you're a liar. Because I just got a letter from somebody in my church the other day that had asked me questions about it. Not that they was fooling with it or nothing like that, but they wanted to know the truth. And I sent them what the Bible said and they sent me back a thank you. Oh, that's people's private life. So what? I preach in all kinds of people's private life, including my own. But Brother Don, it's not accepted in society. I ain't wanting to be accepted in society. I'm wanting to be accepted in heaven. Every society on this earth is going to be burned and destroyed. There's only one society that will stand, and that's the society of the kingdom of God. But you see, Lot's wisdom was earthly, sensual.
devilish. Imagine when they'd go home at night. He was talking about all these male duties. And she was talking about all the societies. And their daughters, which had been raised in the message, now they're being shaped and molded as well. By the time Sodom was destroyed and Lot and his daughters wind up being in a cave, their morality had fallen to such a low that they committed incest with their own daddy. Come on, don't sit there and turn red face. It's the Bible. You see what will happen to these folks that's pulling away from this message? Oh, they're not just getting their bobbed hair. They're not just getting the women on britches and the men being able to wear their shorts now and go to a church where they don't preach against that sort of thing. It'll damn their children to the pits of hell. For many of them, it'll be a miracle if one of their children's even saved. But no doubt some of the sons of Korah will come back to the truth. Can I go on? Watch this in verse 12 of chapter 13. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. Now the Bible in its silence does not give very descriptive terms of the difference. But dwelling in the land of Canaan was dry, barren, sparse grass. And you was a promise. And here's this man who's now left the message. He's dwelling in the cities of the plain. Plenty of water, plenty of grass, plenty of sin, plenty of unbelief. You see, friends, it's a choice. For me and my house, we'll choose the oak of Mamre. I'd rather have one oak in the will of God than a whole forest out of the will of God. I'd rather have one oak all night when the leaves come and go and the seasons come and go than to live in a lush paradise filled with sin and debauchery. But apparently there was one thing Lot did not take into consideration. You see, these cities of the plains were great manufacturing places. Great places of wealth. They got their wealth from two main sources. One of them was salt mines. Salt mines. And from the sea. So they would take this water and they figured out a process to be able to evaporate the water and they would get the salt. So people would come from different parts of the known world to buy their salt. And they also had bitumen mines. Y'all know what bitumen is? Tar. T-A-R. Flammable. Highly spontaneous, combustible substance. Salt. Chemicals. You imagine all the taxes coming in. My, flourished under this former message believer. Oh my, the cities, the population was growing and the taxes and all was growing. This was growing, that was growing. And their sin was growing with it. Amen. Watch this in verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked. And sinners before the Lord exceedingly. But yet this man was able to go right down and live among them. Brothers. Brother Donnie, he didn't call them homosexuals, brothers. You haven't read your Bible lately, have you? The Bible says when them angels of God went in his house and the Sodomites come knocking on their door because they wanted to lay with them, that Lot went to the door and said, do not so wickedly, my brethren. He laughed, calling Abraham his brother. To call him sodomites. You imagine when him and Abraham parted and Abraham puts his arm around him. My brother. And Lot says, my uncle. My brother. But now he's embracing homosexuals. And calling them my brothers. This is not wisdom from above.
Now watch verse 14. Abraham has several reasons for what he's doing. Being a Christian and prefigure, he will prefer his brother over himself. He would have not went that way. It wouldn't make no difference what Lot wanted. I guarantee one thing. If Lot would have chose the west and Abraham would have been forced to go east, he might have went east and turned north. And east and turned south. You ain't going to find Abraham winding up in the cities of Sodom. Because if you go direct east from where they were, that's where you're going to go. You imagine him going out 175 yards to 250 yards and go directly north or go directly south. I am not moving my family to Sodom. It's sad, friends. It's really sad, but many of these women that have left the message, and the men too, they think the women have found such liberty by cutting off their hair. Don't you understand what they're doing? They're spiritually taking on the image of sodomites. A woman cutting her hair is entering into the male domain. When she's putting on pants, she's entering into the male domain. She's getting ready for the fire. She's being dressed for Sodom. A man putting on his shorts, what's he doing? Taking on the female domain. Well, glory, preach, Brother Darmy. Y'all may vote me out after this service, but then let it be my last and let it be a good. Oh, my. God was so moved. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. God didn't tell him that before he made the choice. That would have made the choice much easier. I wonder if God sometimes ain't waiting on us to see what we'll do from our soul. And God's just waiting on you to make the right choice. Sacrifice. Make the right choice. You may have to press to come to church this morning. You didn't feel like it. And God didn't say, I'll bless you when you get there. I'll heal you when you get there. But God just quiet on it. And God waited. And you pressed through a headache. You got ready through back pain and all that. You come to church and you're squirming in the pew. And now when you got there, then he said, now lift up your eyes. You're in the house of God. You're at my table. You're in my presence. Lift up your eyes. I'm the Lord God that heals you. I'm your deliverer. But he might have been waiting on you to see what you do. Oh, hallelujah. Notice this, Brother Ram says again, then God told Abraham, now that you're separated from Lot, he took the bad choice. All the fields was watered in Sodom. Big city is built full of sin. Isn't it strange that that lukewarm believer Lot would go to the best place he could find, the most beautiful place he could find, take the road of ease? Now you watch them in the message, even those that are in the message, you watch the church that you is. Many of them don't want a preacher that'll tell them the truth. They may move in and say, uh-oh, bad mistake. You all company, here we go. Why? They want the road of ease that shows you what's in their heart. Can't you see, friends, why folks can feel so easy going to a charismatic church coming here? Are you kidding me? Come here? That man's out of his mind. Sure I am. Because I'm out of this world. I'm from another world. Are you a Martian, Brother Donnie? I'm a heavenly being. Occupying a body of time. I'm only here for a short time, but I want to live out my time right. You don't think like others. I know, thank you. You don't act like others. I know, thank you. You're meeting that for a slam. I'm taking it as a compliment. We're heavenly beings, are we not?
Isn't it strange that sometimes people who say they believe God, they want to take the road of luxury. They want to take the road where there's no trials. Don't you see Lot? Eden. There's no praying. Oh God, what's my cattle going to eat today? Oh God, how am I going to live? How am I going to do it? You don't need to pray about it. It's right there. Do I want them to eat in this field today or that field? Man, this is wonderful. Everywhere I turn, it's grass, it's green, it's shade, it's homosexuals, it's all. They want to take the easiest way out. They want to take the way that's not persecuted. You just remember, friends, write it down in your little book. One day you heard an ignorant preacher say it. It won't be too many more settings of the sun. Yes, sir. That many preachers in this message, because of the demands of sin, they must lower their standards or lose their people. It'll come to pass to where many preachers will never preach against remarriage. They'll never preach against divorce. They'll never preach against holiness. They'll never preach all them kinds of things. Because the people in the message are at this state right here before the burning of Sodom. And many of them are Lots in the pew. And they're going to make their choice. I'm sick of hearing this stuff. I can go over here to this church and they're talking about how I'm in Christ and how good I am and how sweet I am. I ain't supposed to lie to you though. Friends, God help us. God, send me to a premature grave before I'd ever stand and make this choice. That I would stand as a preacher on this message and say, oh my goodness, my ministry is getting smaller and smaller. I'm shrinking in popularity. That's a joke, isn't it? People don't like to hear me no more. Oh, I used to have thousands of friends. People from all over the world used to want me to come and preach. My, everybody in their conventions wanted me. Not anymore. So maybe I said, oh, I know what I could do. If I would just apologize publicly for here I stand. And I would say, I made a terrible mistake. And I was in the flesh. And I never should have said that. Then I could gain favor again. Two questions. What would he think about me? And what would you? I can tell you that little godly wife of mine sitting right there. She would not be able to look at me with the same respect that she does now. If I sit up there and say, I'm sorry, children. I'm sorry for anything I've ever said to hurt anybody's feelings, whether that's right or wrong. I'm just really, really so sorry. I'm so sorry. Can you imagine me riding down the road with her and her looking over at me and say, Donnie, why would you do that? I heard you say, God told you to preach that. Well, honey, it's just costing me too much. I mean, after all, I'm losing friends everywhere now. It's just costing too much. Come on, children, you're the same way. It ain't just so with the preacher. It cost you to stand for this truth. It cost you young people. It cost you middle-aged people. It cost all of us. And we're going to be stood and right there. And the barren plains is going to be on one side. And the lush paradise on the other. And we're going to stand right there in the middle and say, which way do I go, God? I don't even have to pray about this. Do you? Praise God. Here I go to the oak. And when you know it, the day I get there, the leaves are falling off. Because an oak is a deciduous tree. It's not an evergreen. You imagine Lot going down there. There's evergreens. There's deciduous. There's plants. There's my tropical. It's a paradise. It's beautiful. Whatever. And Abraham getting underneath that. Man alive, it must be 132 in the shade. I'm going to lay underneath the oak and he lays back, sun right in his face. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with that if you want a son of man tan. If you need to lay in the presence of the sun, you don't need no tropical forest somewhere. You need to lay out there in the presence of the sun so you'll ripen and bake all the greenness out of you. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, friends, it really just depends on how you look at church. I'm going to close. Some folks look at church as a Toys R Us and a Babies R Us.
So the whole store is oriented around kids and babies. And that's the way their church is. We have a club for this and a society for that. And we have coffee and we have donuts. And man, we're fixing to have Dunkin' Donuts in our church. Ain't that wonderful? Well, we have a Dunkin' pastor. When you do wrong, he dunks you underneath that water to your bubble. God forgive me, God forgive me. Or you can look at your church at as a butcher shop. You walk in and sit down as a whole hog. You walk out or you roll out as a tenderloin. You went from 450 pounds of slob and gut and stuff that you didn't need know how to a prime cut. Oh, hallelujah! To sit on the master's table. Notice Brother Mem says, they want to take the road where there's no trials. They want to take the easiest way out. They want to take the way that's not persecuted. They want to take the road of ease. You take it for what's worth to you. There's just a lukewarm believer. But Abraham, the man of God, gave Lot his choice. And taken what was left. Oh, I just love that. A real believer will give you your choice. He's willing to take what's left. There's no selfishness in a real believer. Not at all. We got some moving up to do, don't we? Now remember, the real believer is not this. That real believer is that faith of God in you. There's no selfishness there. And the more you learn to submit this to that, more selfishness dies here. We'll look at Lord willing next week. Selfishness is the essence of sin. Selfishness. It's the essence of sin. That's true. Wisdom from above. Do we have it, friends? Do we have this wisdom from above? Will you make the choice to stay in the barren, dry land, as it were? That's amazing to me. It may look like a barren land, but it's the only table where there's really a balanced diet. It may look like a barren land in Lot's eyes, but to Abraham, it was a buffet. It just depends on who you are, really, and what you're looking at. There's no way that Abraham was looking, oh God, yeah, you mean, oh God. God was so pleased with his attitude. God said, now, look here, Abram, look here, lift up your eyes. It's all yours. And when did this further revelation come? When Lot left him. It's sad, folks, if friends are pulling away. It's really sad. Many of your friends, acquaintances, so on, that are pulling away from the truth. But it's necessary. It's necessary for them. It's necessary for you. He can't further reveal this till Judas leaves the table. When Judas left the table and went and did what he did. Then you look at John 14, John 15, John 16. Those chapters, those beloved chapters in St. John are said to the disciples, the elect, after Judas gets up and goes out. They are said after he leaves, and they are said on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Can't you see what awaits us? Can't you see what awaits us? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I
pray you'd help each of us today, Father. These people would never believe it, and those who don't know me would certainly never believe it. How many times I have been tempted to compromise and not preach this and that. Not say things that I knew would be controversial. How many times have I wept, laid awake in my bed at night, turning and tossing, wishing I didn't have to preach hard things. Knowing that if I would eliminate this, and even good men, great men, saying, I wish Brother Donnie would shut up on this. I wish he'd quit that. Brother Jim Whitson's even heard it himself standing in my office of preachers that have come here in our church to preach and tell me what I should and should not do and what I should and should not preach. Lord, it may look like a lone tree. It may look like a lonely oak. But if this is your will for me and these people, this is where we will stay. I'm not a fool. I got enough about me to know we have good musicians. We have good people. I have enough about me to know we have gifted men here at this church. And if we wanted to make a kingdom, an empire, we would start with some simple modification. Change this, change that, change that. My, we could have a church here that'd be five times as big as what we got. But what would we have? As the man come to Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, there is nobody on the field like you. There's nobody got a gift. Brother Branham said, his mother said, give the cow enough rope and she'll hang herself. So he said, well, thank you, brother. He said, Brother Branham, my wife is dying with cancer in her breast. Doctors gave her weeks to live. You called her out and told her, thus and thus and so, right there, God healed her. The doctors are testifying to this day. So let us charter you a plane. You're all the time hanging around this other group over here. Let us, my brothers, I've spoke to them. We'll take you around the world. We'll charter you a plane. We'll put you on a salary. Oh, okay, brother. So what do I have to do? Well, the brother said there was a few things that water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, serpent seed, just a few things. And the prophet said to him, my brother, I'm surprised that you as one servant of God would speak to another servant of God when you just gave me the tribute of saying I was a prophet. And you would ask me to compromise on the thing that means more than life to me. He said that man didn't know the scripture or he would have knew that angel never went down to Sodom. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we may have to live a lonely life, a separated life, as it were, up under this oak and the plains of Mamre. But Lord God, if we'll be faithful, if we'll be true, we may get up one morning and troubles all around us. There may be arguments and fusses among us and discord and whatever more as it was between Abraham and Sarah that day. Brother Bibb said Sarah was kind of grumpy and grouchy. But little did she know, right down the road, God was heading her way. Let us live up here in this barren, dry ground, supposedly, where our women supposedly are under bondage and our children supposedly can't do this and that and the other. Let us camp out here under the oak of Mamre. And one day, our Lord God will come walking down the road. Or our promise is, we'll meet him in the air. Hallelujah. For them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him when he comes. So instead of it being two angels that are heading to Sodom, our Prince of Peace is coming after his Princess of Peace. Our King of Peace, King Shalom, is coming after Queen Shalom. Hallelujah. It broke their heart to stand sometimes when their mama had to go, their daddy had to go. But they had to stand for what was truth. Help us, Lord Jesus. Encourage us when we get down. Encourage these young girls if they have to break from friends who pull them toward the world. Encourage these young men. Encourage these brothers. Encourage your ministry around the world. The spirit of compromise is all over everywhere, Lord. It's not stopping the denominations. It's trying its best to creep right into our message. But help us, Lord Jesus, I pray. Help us to be willing to stay up here in the tent waiting for Jehovah. Lord God, that we can turn and look as Abraham did that day. And all of a sudden he looked and he saw three men walking down the road. It's the first time he'd ever seen you in a body form. But when you spoke, he knew it was you. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. We long for that hour, Lord, to see you face to face. It'll be worth our separation, worth our crying, worth our loneliness, as it were, to be able to meet you on that hour. Help us, Father. How many with all of your heart are you willing to set up under the lone oak at Mamre, if that's what God requires of your life? You brothers that are businessmen, I'd rather make just a good living and be honest than to make a better living and be dishonest. Ain't that true? You young people, don't compromise. Don't be a lot in school. Don't be a lot in college. Going up there in them Jezebels and they try to pressure you. Don't compromise. The Lord's taking notice. He may be waiting for you to take your stand, and then he'll come with a blessing and give you the strength that you need. Elijah, be remembered today, friend. I don't know if you understand it or not, where we are in time. Do you understand where we are in time? What lays before us? We're at the time that Lot is separating from Abraham. Make sure your foundation is true. Would you just take and lay your hand on the person standing by you, or take them by the hand one? Let's offer a word of prayer. I realize our prayers, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. But I know that even prayer cannot change currency. I know me praying for you, you praying for me, cannot change me from a penny to a silver dollar. Prayer is not the promise of changing spiritual currency. But if you are an Abraham here today and you've never entered into that place, maybe you've backslid and you've compromised, and you say, well, I must be a lot. No, it don't necessarily mean that you're a lot. It may just mean that you've never come to the place to nourish from the breast of El Shaddai, to receive the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Friends, if we ever needed divine strength, we need it in this compromising hour. Don't make peace at all cost, but only at reasonable cost, which are not contrary to the truth. Heavenly Father, oh God, I feel a strange warning here today. Help us, Lord. Dear Jesus. Not so much just for us here at this church and people that would hear this service, but I believe it's universal, Lord. We're at that time when Lot must be separated from Abraham. Lord, and there's no way for us to judge people's souls. We'll leave that totally to you. But we look at fruits and we see what people do. We know, no doubt, some of them that have turned away, they'll get down close to Sodom and they'll realize what a terrible thing they've done. They'll come back to truth. Not to Happy Valley, but to truth. You look terribly on people backsliding from truth. It was an unpardonable sin down through the scriptures for people to once embrace something and turn away from it, Lord. It's one of the most harsh, severe, punished sins in the entire canon of scripture. You said, my soul hath no pleasure in them that draw back. God, I pray, help us, Lord. Dear God, you didn't promise it'd always be a flower bed of ease. You didn't promise, Lord Jesus, in the plains of Mamre, in the land of Canaan, as it were, that there'd be rain and sunshine every day. You promised there'll be sickness, there'll be trials, there'll be tests. You said it this way, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But then you followed up with these words, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You didn't promise us everybody would love us. You promised the opposite. You promised we'd be hated, misunderstood, laughed at, ridiculed, made fun of. But Lord Jesus, you promised you'd be with us. Maybe there's some of the young people and they're sitting at their oak tree in their college. And they look around and they think, Lord, have mercy, here I am, the only person in this school, the only person in this class. And they're tempted to give in a little bit here and a little bit there. Maybe young men on the job and they're looking around and men are talking filthy and dirty and drinking and doing all kinds of things and they're the only one on that job that's holy. Maybe a school teacher, the only one at that school.
maybe a plumber or forevermore, Lord. Help them not to move from their plane, oh God, from their tent. It may be barren to the eyes of the world. And the world like, I mean, you look so ugly. You look so cute in a miniskirt. You'd look so pretty if your hair. Oh, let them see it's the same thing. It's the devil trying to describe their land. But Lord, help us not to look at our land the way Lot does. Help us to look at our land the way Abraham looked at his. Abraham looked at them well-watered plains and said, you can have it. I don't want it. I'll take this barren land. I'll grub out a living. I'll stay here under the revealed word of the hour. It'll make me pray more because that's what I need. It'll make me live closer because that's what I need. If I get down there, I'll get lazy and loose and lax. Could it, Lord, keep us. Keep the young people of our church, Father. Keep the married men. Keep the married women. Keep us all. Keep the preachers, Lord. The deacons, the trustees, the Sunday school teachers. Keep us, Lord God. Father, I pray not only for us, but for those around the world. Your little bride, Lord God. Lord, the little bride that's living under the oak tree in Uganda. The bride that's living under the oak tree in Kenya. Wherever they are around the world, Father. This brother and sister from Moscow. For the saints in Russia and Europe, wherever they are. Keep us, Lord. Keep us, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray, Father. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Oh, we bless your holy name today, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God, most high. Hallelujah, you're worthy, Lord. Forgive me for complaining at the hard times under my tree, Lord. Forgive me for complaining, dear God. Forgive me for every grumble I've ever made. You've been so good to me, Lord. I ain't got a right to grumble one bit. Forgive me. Forgive me for ever saying it's hard. Forgive me for ever saying it's difficult. Forgive me for saying I wish I was called to be a preacher. God, you know I've said it thousands of times. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, God, to live under this tree with joy. Help me to live under this tree waiting for the presence of God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Oh, Adonai. I bless your name, Lord Jesus. I bless your holy name, Lord God. Let's raise our hands, children. Do you understand the same Lord God that walked up to Abraham that day is right here in this building this morning? That same Lord God, by his presence, his angels, you can't see them, but his angels. Angels are in this place. They're in the front of this building on this platform. They're right standing right there by you in your pew. They're up in the nursery with you sisters there. They're in the video booths. They're in the streaming booths up there. The angels of God are all in this place. The Holy Spirit is here. Let me go a little farther and say your glorified body is right here this morning. Wanting to send a charge through you like a battery. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Why don't you reach over, as it were, and hook up your jumper cables, Mama, to your glorified body. Let him send a charge of supernatural strength, supernatural courage. Praise be to God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you, Lord. Sing something there. Let's just worship him. Let's invite him to come nearer. Let's not keep him at a distance. Let's invite him to come closer and closer.
I bless,
Lord Jesus,
your name. I bless your name. I give you all. I give you praise. You are the Lamb, the truth. Your name. in prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas, let's pray that
Jesus. we worship you, Lord God. We magnify your name, Lord. Almighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, El Shaddai, we invite you, Lord. Come and walk with us, Lord. Come walk with us every day. We don't just want you here on Sunday, Lord. I need you on Monday and Tuesday and the rest of the week, Lord God. Oh, help us, Father, that we'll be willing to live underneath this oak if that's what's required. Lord, to have this great divine presence in our midst. What could we trade for this visitation of your being amongst us, Lord? This same thing that we feel coming over our flesh. One day this same Holy Ghost will pack us right into the presence of God in a body change. This same thing, Lord, this movement among us one day will change us and make us young men and young women. Oh God, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I bowed on my knees. Sing it. Let's just take a few moments before we go eat. Lord have mercy, children. What in the world could you eat that it is greater than this right here? Forget your dinner plans and what you're doing this evening. Let's savor these moments in the presence of the King. I wonder how Abraham would carry on if he's here this morning. Lord have mercy. How Abraham would do and Isaac and Jacob to be in this same holy presence. Oh, praise God. Let's sing and worship just a little bit more before we go.
I dream,
Lord Jesus,
of a city called glory.
Yes, Father.
My God. So bright.
Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So fair.
Thank you, my Lord.
When I entered its gates,
yes, Lord,
I cried, holy, the angel.
Yes.
All met me there. They showed me,
hallelujah,
from mansion,
hallelujah,
to mansion, and all the sights,
yes, Lord Jesus,
that I saw.
Oh, but this is what I said.
Oh, I said,
hallelujah!
I want to
see
Jesus.
Everybody now.
Appreciate the word of God. I don't know about you. I'm thankful that we got a man here. He ain't going to compromise. He ain't going to come back Wednesday night and apologize what he said on Sunday morning. I thank God he sent us a man that's going to tell us the truth. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can go anywhere in this world to get a compromiser. But it's very hard to get somebody to tell you the truth. Amen. You sure make you want to pray for him this week, Lord, to lift him up. Don't you realize every gun in hell is going to try to tear him apart now? But if you and I can build ourselves together, shoulder to shoulder, brother to brother, we'll hold him up. Amen. I don't know about you. I need to hear the truth. I'm glad my family come to a church where they can hear the truth without compromise. Amen. Let's sing this as we go. I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. Let's sing this one. We're being dismissed. God bless you. Amen.
I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I see. I love you.
God bless you going to fear God this morning. Amen.
Yes, I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love you. Yes, I love you, my Lord. Well, I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I see.
Yes, oh God. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord Jesus, my Lord.